The sixth chapter of 2 Samuel can be labeled doing a right thing in a wrong way. I suppose that this would be just another way of putting in the negative that ancient epigram, the end justifies the means. Now, there have been a great many organizations and individuals that use that as their philosophy of life. Now, I do not mean to suggest that David, that was his philosophy of life, for it was not. But in the particular incident that's recorded in the sixth chapter, that is certainly true. And this is a page from, I think, one of the greatest days in the life of David. Suppose you'd want to choose the greatest day in the life of David. What day would you choose? Would it be the day that Samuel poured the anointing oil on him as a young shepherd boy? That was a great day. And how about the day that he slew Goliath, a giant? That was a great day. And certainly his first romance with Michal, a king's daughter that was given to him in marriage, though the motive of Saul was a pretty base motive. Then probably you'd say the day he escaped from Saul. And then it might be the death of Saul, for that meant he was to ascend the throne. Probably you would think it was the day that he was made king of all Israel and the crown was put upon him. Or maybe you might even want to suggest it was that sin with Bathsheba. It might be also the day that his son Absalom rebelled against him and the day he was slain. Or maybe the day that Solomon was anointed. All of these were great days in the life of a great man. But I believe that the sixth chapter here records this event, and then that in the seventh chapter, the two, I would say both of them, are great events and the greatest in the life of David. Now, this is the day that he brought up the Ark of God up to Jerusalem. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, that denoted the presence of God among these people. Those of you that are not acquainted with the floor plan of the tabernacle, probably I should suggest to you again a book I have on the tabernacle, God's Portrait of Christ. And I specialize in these articles of furniture and their location in the tabernacle and then in the temple. That was in the outer court, the burnt altar, and there was the brazen laver. There is where sin was dealt with. Then there was the holy place, and in that were three articles of furniture, all spoke of worship and the person of Christ. The golden lampstand, the golden altar, and the table of showbread. Then inside the Holy of Holies, there was the ark, and over it the mercy seat. And this was where God met with his people. And I suppose the ark is the best picture of Christ that we have in the Old Testament. And it's the only picture actually God ever painted. I do not care about the paintings of Christ that picture a man of the Middle Ages and the way he looked. I do not know how the Lord Jesus looked. There are those today that are trying to say that he was a white man, those that say he was a black man, those that say he was a swarthy, dark complexion. I personally would think of him as being between that. I think his skin was bronzed. But I don't know that because we're not told a thing. But here is a picture of him in the tabernacle. And actually the ark was just a box, 2.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits. Bezalel was given a special ministry by the Spirit of God that he might make it. And the ark, you see, denoting the presence of God, became a hindrance to Israel because they looked at it in a superstitious way. They thought there was some merit in that box, and there wasn't. It just was a symbol, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was made of gold, speaking of his deity, and of wood, speaking of his humanity. And it wasn't two boxes, it was one box. It wasn't a wooden box, it wasn't a gold box, it was both, if you please. And he's the God-man, or as the oldest creed says, he's very man of very man, and he's very God of very God. Now, you will recall that during the time of Samuel, the Philistines had gotten the ark, and they were very superstitious about it. They put it on a wagon and left it in the field of Abinadab, stayed there 70 years. Then when David captured Jerusalem, he wanted to move the ark up to Jerusalem. He felt that that was the place for it, and I think that he had ample justification for it. And one of the things that the king was told in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 17, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. Forasmuch as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. And this man was to establish there a capital. And when he took Jerusalem, he made it the capital. And out yonder at Kirjath-Jearim, 8 miles west of Jerusalem, there was the ark. And David had a passion and love for God that is seldom found today. I'll be honest with you, I do not go along with these folk that are everlastingly criticizing David. I only wish in my own heart that I had that love and passion for God, that he had listened to him. You know what this man could say, and he could say it from the depths of his heart in a most wonderful way. He could say, listen to this, and it's a glorious thing. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say? I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart. Listen to David again in Psalm 108:1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. That is the thing that was in the heart of this man. And then again, over in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Isn't that wonderful? David had a passion and love for God, so he wanted to bring up the ark of God. And you will find now that's what he's going to attempt to do here in chapter 6. And he does it in the wrong way. Now the ark is mentioned here 15 times in the first 17 verses. And after you read this section, I hope you'll read it, you will find out that the Lord is talking about the ark of the Lord. That seems to be the subject. And it seemed to be rather important to David and important to the Lord. You know, I think at least 11 of the Psalms were composed around this incident. And I think the 23rd Psalm was composed around bringing this ark up to Jerusalem. And you can be sure of one thing, that David didn't have some peculiar, superstitious viewpoint of this at all. David knew where the Lord was. He wasn't in that box. He says in Psalm 123:1, under thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. David knew where God was, but he knew that this was the approach that was made to God. It spoke of a mediator between God and man. Now, will you notice what he wants to do? And I've given all this preliminary because I think this chapter is rather important.